Do you have more pictures of your goats than yourself on your phone? Does your vacation time get spent attending goat shows? Can you have a conversation without bringing up dairy goats? Neither can we. So join us as we talk to the country's best breeders, judges, appraisers, and industry experts about all things dairy goats. We are John Kane and Danielle Caroli. Welcome to Ringside, an American Dairy Goat podcast. What's up, everyone, and welcome to Ringside. I'm John, and as always, I'm joined by I Should Have Been a Cowgirl, Danielle Caroli. What's up?
Hello, John. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just wonderful. I have been getting super ready for kidding season, which kicks off. Maybe that's a better one. We're not punting, we're kicking. kicking off on Thursday. So ready or not, here we come. Thursday as in Thursday the 7th.
Oh, I was thinking it was a couple of days later, but yeah, you're almost, I guess I should say get on my level and go from there.
Yeah, are we talking about your level or are we leaving that as a surprise?
Oh, we can either talk about it now or we can talk about it later. I don't care. Do you want me to share how my kidding season has gone this far?
Well, if you do, then that means that any comments from the release of this episode on do not count towards the competition. I'm for it.
I think it's about time because I gotta get a few things going on in terms of my farm. And I feel like I've been holding back a little bit of the what's happening because for the sake of the podcast and the listeners. So I am ready to share.
All right, dish girl, just dish.
Well, I have a feeling John's going to be naming a Nubian kid this year.
I'm sorry, say that again. How is this possible? John has Oberhasli. They suck.
Nobody said the Oberhasli sucked.
You know, felt like it.
No. Everybody just felt, and probably rightly so, that typically Nubians tend to have more than Oberhasli. That you've said, multiple people have said, the Oberhasli tend to carry only a single or a twins, where Nubians tend to have a tendency to do two or three.
Yeah.
At least that was my general impression. However, for the sake of the podcast, we've edited the script and we felt that an underdog story was a lot better this year. Also, in just terms of production value, the fact that I would have won twice in a row with a bat that everybody was calling very unfair just didn't really sit right with me and my Nubians. So we decided to kind of throw a little bit of like a curveball in kidding season 2024. And so I've had three of my four does, kid. And yes, I have three baby goats on the ground.
Three baby goats. You hear that, listeners? You hear that? Oh, John's going to end up with five kids. Danielle's going to end up with 45. Ha! Ha! That's what I say. Three kids out of three does. Three!
So the best of this all is I will be completely honest, I did not think I was going to be having three does or three kids from these three does. They were large. They were looking pretty big. And one of these does is a second freshener who last year was the doe that came in clutch for me. She knew that we had to win. And so this first freshener had three babies and I didn't know where she put them. And she's a second freshener now. She's much deeper. She's turning out to be this really gorgeous doe. And so I was looking at her and thinking, okay, you had three babies last year. You're deeper this year. I don't think you have three. I think you have probably twins. But then I had another doe who, again, last year had three. And I was thinking she looked like she was pretty big and having three again this year. So I had to go to Texas to judge, and it decided to induce these does because I just wanted to make sure they had babies on the ground before I left. I wasn't having anybody have to watch them through the night, all those fun things, and induce them to kid. And the one doe started kidding, wasn't really progressing. I'm aware with inducing, things happen a little differently. Also, with this doe, I'm aware of her history. She's very dramatic in her kidding, and she kind of goes from 0 to 100 pretty quickly. There's not your typical sign. She doesn't typically have what, like, she doesn't t typically like have her water burst and then start pushing. It's just kind of this like the kids are here situation with her. And so I was giving her her time and watching her, and finally realized that she wasn't quite progressing on how fast I would like her to progress. So went in, found the kid, got it all positioned, kind of assisted to pull it out. And so after that, I said, okay, give her a few minutes. We were kind of racing because I had two does that were competing to see who would kid first. And so I started paying attention to the other doe, giving this doe a minute, and didn't really see her progressing much farther. So figured at this point, I had already gotten the one doe out. Let me see what's going on and let me see if I need to assist her with another one. So I go in and I do a sweep. I'm just kind of befuddled at this point because I was expecting, with the size of this doe, I was expecting at least twins, if not triplets. So do my sweep, can't find anything. All right, I don't think there's anything in there. So then I kind of turn my attention to my other doe who I induced. Her water bursts, and I put my timer on to kind of figure out how long it's been. As I'm dealing with this other one, kind of letting her do her thing. She's obviously very uncomfortable. But then with that, it's been long enough that there's no real progression. She's really not pushing. This tells me that there's something up in all of this. And bearing in mind that I did induce these does instead of having them kid naturally, there are certain things that potentially do not happen in the same way that happen when it is kind of that natural induction of the kidding process. So I go in and find out that she's not as dilated as I would like her to be. So start helping her with that dilation, find the kid right there, but I need to help her dilate to allow that kid to pass through the birth canal. So we get the kid out. Thank goodness I induced her to kid at 149 days instead of letting her kind of go naturally because it was a single kid and she was pretty large for this. That I mean, I was feeding her thinking she was having twins, but with that allowed her, we got that baby out. And in the process, the other doe was kind of pushing, and I kind of figured it was afterbirth, but I just wanted to be careful. And so I did a second sweep on her because, again, I was still not convinced at this point that there was
You're
no.
like, please,
I was like, there's got to be
please.
something in there. There's got to be something in there. So did a sweep on that doe. So I went in twice on her because I'm like, there's got to be, there's got to be. And I'm like, no. And even made sure I was going in the other direction just to make sure there wasn't a kid in another horn. All of these things that I just was like, what is going on? And so then the second doe kidded and had a single kid as well. And so I walked away with three does kidding in 24, well, actually probably 12 hours. And in with those three does, I have three kids on the ground. Amazing. Love the sound. So then the best part is, as I'm just saying, telling the story, I have to share this part too. I text John and I say, well, guess you're naming a kid because I only had three. And his response is like, no way. Like, here we go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
I'm like,
You're like, no way. No way. And then afterwards, I go, oh no. He's like, you're like, no way. There's no way. And I go, yeah, just kidding. I have nine kids on the ground. And then,
And I almost left work for the night.
yeah, burst his bubble, was like, I have nine kids on the ground. Sorry, dude. And I can just tell he's just so defeated at this point. And so I say, oh no, just kidding. I only have three. You didn't know
I
which way
was.
was up at this at that moment.
No, I'm texting Tyler Ramirez. I'm like, dude, I got a chance. Gotta think of a good name, man. It's gonna be great. And then you're like, just kidding. I have nine kids on the ground. I'm like, I just don't know what life is anymore. Like, how is this even fair? And then you're like, no, I'm just kidding. It's really actually three. And I had to call you. I was like, you're putting me through so many emotions right now. What is
Yeah.
it? But congratulations on three healthy kids. What did you say if they were bucks or does?
So we've had one buck so far and two does. One of the does is going to be re retained. I have a name for her, and I am cautiously optimistic that there will be another doe kid to retain for me. So she's not going to be the doe kid you're naming. I just want to, the poor thing needs a name. I have too many people kind of trying to name goats and giving these kids names, and the fact that she doesn't have a name yet doesn't work for my system. So she does have a name, but once I officially lose this bet, I will have a doe kid for you to name. So this won't be the one you're naming, just simply because she needs a name quicker than your does are going to kid. With that, there will be there will be another one that you will be naming.
Why does she need a name quicker than my dose of kid? Because there's not a show in between then and there. You can just call her Harry Meatball for all that matters.
No, but I want to, if there's some epic name there, I feel like I need a barn name that goes with this epic name that you now have to come up with. I mean,
Oh,
no pressure now. The pressure on me has now officially been like released. And like now the pressure's on you. You need to
can you
come up
just
with.
forward me the names that you were thinking of, please? Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's not how this works. This is all on you now. Even though I know you're phoning friends on this one to come up
It's
with something.
just totally independent research I'm
Oh
doing,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah. I feel like if it needs, it's going to be epic. And with that, I want to celebrate the awesome epic name. And so most likely that'll be her, there'll be some way to incorporate that into her barn name as well. So
Well,
again, no pressure, dude.
none
America
whatsoever.
loves an underdog story. This is your underdog story. Create an epic name.
Well, we're gonna have three out of my four kid by Thursday morning ish, maybe a little bit in the afternoon. Sometimes they linger. So two of them are heavy hitters that have hopefully twins in them, and there are multiple freshening does. I have a first freshener in that group that looks rather large, and then my last one definitely has a single, but she won't kid until Monday the 11th. So we'll it's gonna be wild. We'll see. We got to figure out what we're gonna do for a tiebreaker. Do we just go to the next doe if there's a tiebreaker somehow?
Well, when is your next doe kidding after that
April.
four? Oh,
April.
then yes. We can go to
Yeah.
the next
And
doe.
that would be the perfect doe for a tiebreaker because she's super large.
Same.
So,
Oh,
oh. It's gonna be a firefight. That's an old
Oh
movie
my gosh,
reference
but
anyway.
anyway, so that's what's going on here. And yeah, quickly delivered kids,
Cool.
went to Texas to judge the open dairy goat show for the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Hence
And
the should have been a cowboy reference at the top of the show, folks.
it all makes sense now.
It does. Yeah. So you had a good judging trip in Houston?
I did. Saw some great goats, got out into the ring for the first time this year. Yeah, I can't complain.
Does it give you the itch to get into the show ring?
Just a little bit, just a little
Okay.
bit.
Okay. Oh, that's good. Add good news, Danielle. Usually I'm like, nothing much going on. It's winter time. People are milking goats. They're being cool people. Nothing could possibly happen. But hey, the mid-year report for the executive committee came out. That's pretty exciting.
It is pretty exciting. And I have to say, it's a pretty strong mid-year report. There's a lot going on in the ADGA universe.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I noticed was that they're actually like discussing talking about possibly touching maybe support tickets, like the ones that have been just out there forever. They're going to actually have employees get to.
Did you read this? Wait, hold up. Did you read the same report I did?
Yeah, what?
Because
It
that's
said
not
any
what
long-standing.
it says.
Yes, it does. It said that
No,
any
no,
long.
no. It says that the backlog of routine work files have been caught up on. If there
Right.
are long-standing tickets, you need to update them so that they know that they still need attention, not that they're
No,
to get.
no. Listen, I read this at maybe 1 a.m. this morning, but that's they said that they I thought that no, my
Hold on,
comprehension skills
I'll
are
read
much
it. Do
better
you
than
want me
that.
to read it to you? Please hold.
No, let me pull it.
Regarding customer service, the backlog of routine work folders has caught up. The staff is focusing on reducing support and IT tickets. It was suggested that individuals who have long-standing support tickets update these so that it is evident that the ticket still needs attention. There will be an allowed time period to do this.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yes. So what that means, or what I am
Comprehension.
assuming
Oh,
that,
God. Okay.
what that I'm assuming that means
Yep.
is they have their backlog caught up on. But there are a lot of tickets still out there. Some of those tickets, their issues have been addressed, but the tickets have not been properly closed. And this has happened multiple times since NG.
Right.
With that, there is going to be an announcement or a criteria that we are going to keep all tickets open until a date. After that, we are going to close all the current tickets to start fresh again. If you have something that needs to be addressed on a ticket that has not been caught up on, you need to refresh that ticket, which is simply going in, opening that ticket again, commenting on it, like, please address this. We are still working on this. I have not received the papers. And that is how you restore that ticket. But they are trying to understand how many tickets they have that are active tickets and how many tickets are issues that have already been addressed. But because of the ticketing system, if they are not closing out the ticket, they don't know if it was something that was addressed maybe via a phone call or natural help or just an extra ticket that doesn't need to be
Right. And if somebody calls in, gets the problem fixed, and they don't mention, hey, this I by the way, I opened a support ticket about this, then they don't know to close it.
exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Well, reading's hard for me. Okay. Well, that's awesome. Also, I don't know if these are new phone hours. I could have sworn they did this last year, but phone hours for the office are 9 to 12. And then everybody goes on lunch and they come back and they're back on from 1 to 4, Monday through Friday. So, yeah, if you guys if you need to call in, just remember these are Eastern time zone hours. So at least we know they're getting lunch. Let's see, there was an IT update as well, right? Huh?
What?
What did you say?
I just nothing.
Okay. All right. There's an IT update as well. IT will be doing an update, which will need to be the focus before they can go back to development, but it should not impact the functionality of member services. Okay, so.
Exactly. So basically, with that, they need to, I mean, it's to kind of dumb it, not dumb it down, but to make it simple, I guess is the best way to say it, is their programming, they need to kind of restart their programming, or not restart, re I'm making this way more horrible than it actually is, but they need to upgrade their system requirements. So it's basically the same as that pesky symbol on your phone that there's an update for us, press accept if you have enough storage, and we will up the your phone will automatically update the software. However, in this, it's a little bit more complicated than that. They have to go in and make some changes to make it have the most up-to-date software, in essence, to perform properly. So that's going to kind of divert attention for a little bit, but it's not going to impact member services. So it's just going to divert the attention of the future development plans that they're working on.
Let's see. The protected publications, you know, folks, when you're on the ADGA site and you're trying to look up something and it's like, you need the password. And you're like, crap, well, I can't remember my own passwords. You want me to remember the one for ADGA? Like, come on. Apparently, those protected publications will be migrated to NG so that members can access it there. Hopefully, won't need a silly little password to get into it every single time. I can't tell you how many times I go back, Danielle, and like I have it saved in my phone, thank goodness, where I go, oh, what is this darn password? And then I find it after 5 minutes, and then I go, what was I looking up? So.
No, it'll definitely be easier once it's protected under the firewall that is the NG system, and having to have be an active member with a password. Your NG information is protected by your username and password. And so by migrating that information that is only really available, and rightly so available to most of it, rightly so available to its members, and kind of the perks of membership is having access to these things. That is going to be moved to that so that it is more easily accessible to the members, and we don't have to worry about, like you said, a password that we often forget.
Sorry, I have the case of the giggles now. Let's see. The EC learned that the following items are in current production in terms of programming and development: 1 day milking competition, DNA, membership renewal process, AGS registrations, and Guernsey Foundation data. That is all in current production. I mean, if I have to be a Debbie Downer, I will. The AGS and Guernsey part that's been in productions for 4 years. So I like to see it live, please. Let's roll that out.
I mean, I've heard rumors, and I just, because I don't have AGS registered animals, and I've heard rumors that people are receiving registrations that are from the AGS animals. And it's just, as they kind of figured, it's just a more lengthy process for entering that animal's information because they're starting from scratch with these pedigrees when they're transferring from AGS to ADGA. But I've heard rumors that people are able to, like, they are doing it just slowly because it is a very time-consuming process. So I think it's, I've heard a lot of good things lately.
No, yeah, listen, the AGS thing, I have also heard those things that people are receiving registrations and blah, blah. But I'm sorry, but I'm always going to advocate for Guernseys here. There was a performance programs update as well.
Yes.
I don't, Jimmy, what did Jimmy say?
They talked about the different things they're going to have to do in the next kind of years in terms of performance programs. They are working to publish or create the 2022 and 2023 top 10 lists. I know I received an email about the DHIR because I am on milk test and I did not get a verification for 2022 because I am on a plan where I only need a verification test if I think I have an animal who was going to be in top 10. So with that 2022, I didn't do a verification because none of my animals were producing enough that I felt that I needed to have a verification. And then, so I received an email saying I didn't have a verification on file, which was true. And then in this email, it also said that they are anticipating bringing complete lactations into NG over the coming weeks. This is a major step towards bringing back full functionality to DHIR, that you will actually be able to see inside your account with NG. There's things kind of in the works, but they anticipate bringing the top 10 back in the fall of 2024, which will probably be that 2022 and 2023 top 10. I got this email. Other people probably got this email. There's two last little lines that are very important to remember and not panic about because it says your test plan may not require you to have a verification test to have your records accepted. If you did have, and then it's like, if you did have a verification test in 2022 and you are receiving this email, please have your lab send it to ADGA. But again, if you are on the normal milk test, you're not doing an owner sample and you don't think you have a top 10 doe and you didn't do a verification, you are still okay.
Perfect. Winning appraisal. Five appraisers have accepted offers of employment. One is completing final training that would most likely put them in the field. So that's five, maybe six appraisers for the whole country. So I'm glad that we're getting, we're hopefully going to get appraised this year. But oh boy, they got a lot of animals to cover. Godspeed, folks.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, there will hopefully what they're thinking is that there's definitely five, but there's a sixth one who is going to have to go out into the field to complete their final training. But most likely, with the number of days that need to be appraised, they will be able to go out into the field as well before the appraisal season is done.
Sweet. And national show. Let's see, able to bring non-show animals equivalent to an entry fee. So I've seen questions on this as well. People that might say, oh, I'll have a dry doe that's going to stay at home, but I don't have anybody to care for her. She's not in milk. Can I bring her? And it's like, yes, you can, just entry fee and pen space. So yeah, if you get.
I think this is great because it's also, I mean, it applies to like, oh, I'm going to be leaving home one milker. It's kind of a pain to leave one milker home. It's easier to take her with me, but I don't necessarily want to show her, or I have kids I'm bringing to sell, or that I'm bringing kids that are sold that are leaving after nationals to kind of go to a different part of the country. And now I don't need to show them because I have all these other kids I want to show in that class, but they
Yeah.
are going and heck, it works out. I mean, it makes it easy for the breeders and it helps that national show to just kind of function and helps them financially as well.
Yeah, I with Tierney and I were thinking we were possibly going to have to do something like this, like bring Jem dry and because she would have been left home, or keep a weather. Or, keep a buck kid and weather him and keep him with Jem while we're gone. But turns out she might be going competitively. So, Guernseys will possibly be on display, but not in the status as outlined in the guidebook. Meaning there's, if I don't know what the guidebook says for animal breeds on display, but if I had to guess, there's probably going to be Guernseys represented there, but not the amount like we saw in Harrisburg. Maybe.
I think it's more, and the way I am reading that is that Guernseys will once again be able to be on display at nationals. They will not be shown at nationals, but they can be on display at nationals. There is that process in the guidebook to qualify for being on display, and there's the 500 animals registered. There's all these stipulations. And so I think it is changing that to allow them to be displayed. It might not mean that they need to meet a certain criteria. I think those rules will come out in the future, and they're probably working on finalizing what that means, but it's going to allow Guernseys to be at nationals. I don't know if it's going to be working towards once again trying to get them from display status to competing, how that works, but I think it's ultimately bypassing that 500 animals registered thing to start off them being on display again. All good on that. So you can read the full report. Obviously, we just kind of gave a summary, and with that, it is available. I know it's been shared a few times. It's got to be available somewhere on the website.
Yeah, it's under the protected publications part.
Gotcha. So it's there. You can find it there.
Hot off the presses, we've got some national show news from Louisville, Kentucky. We've got the judging assignments along with the schedule. So I'm going to read that real quick, and then we'll be on moving on with our day here. But just so you know, July 12th, Friday, committee move-in, national show committee meeting. That's all you need to know. July 13th, exhibitors arrive, vet check, registration, all that good stuff. There's going to be like a youth mixer. This is going to be a good time. Then July 14th, that Sunday, you're going to have the showmanship stuff with the youth fitting contest. And then we're going to roll right into it with the Alpine Junior Show, judged by Baden and Bice. And then we're going to have the recorded grade show, Junior Show, with Bartholomew and Flickinger. That Monday morning, we're going to start the day off with Alpine Senior Show, Baden and Bice, Recorded Grade Senior Show, Bartholomew and Flickinger. And then that evening, afternoon really, Nigerian Dwarf Junior Show, Biddle and Bartholomew. And then you got the Nubian Junior Show, which is Pilat and Bice. Let me just grab my paper here and change that. My wife was awesome enough to print it for me. Go Tierney. Go organization. And then we've got July 16th, which is the Tuesday, Nigerian Dwarf Senior Show, Biddle and Bartholomew. Then you've got the Nubian Senior Show, Pilat and Bice, Lumancha Junior Show, which is Bartholomew and Flickinger, the Teigenberg Junior Show, which is Biddle and Baden, and then you've got the Sable Junior Show, which is Bice and Pilat. Remember, they always put three in one day. So then that morning, you're going to start off the morning with Lumancha Senior Show, Bartholomew and Flickinger, along with the Tog Senior Show, which is Biddle and Baden, the Sable Senior Show at noon-ish, Bice and Pilat. Then you've got the Sanin Junior Show with Baden and Pilat, along with Oberhasli Junior Show, which is Flickinger and Biddle. Then Thursday, we're going to wrap it all up with the Sanin Senior Show, which is Baden and Pilat, the Oberhasli Senior Show, Flickinger and Biddle, and then you got the social event along with the Colorama sale and the award ceremony, and then release, and everybody needs to be off of the grounds by that following Friday by noon. And yeah, we plan on doing some cool stuff, some live recordings. I don't think we're going to have a table this year just because we want to focus on the show, but we're going to have a lot of fun. Hope to see everybody there, and of course, we're going to be covering more about the national show, Colorama sale, everything like that before we even get there. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun time. Now, Danielle, you are out on the road,
Yes.
traveling, enjoying the beautiful weather in Houston, Texas. We are in the middle of kidding season. We gave an update for that. Do we want to continue on with our short little topic here? You are pressed for time. You do have a life. I have a life as well. It's in my living room playing and probably making a mess.
It's in your living room watching Paw Patrol.
Do we want to touch on the topic real quick, or do we want to just end the week there? Episode 201, we're with guns blazing.
Whoa. We're coming out with guns blazing?
Am I being like sassy today?
Oh, no, not at all.
Well, I didn't want to come off spicy. So, but I think you do have things to do before you catch your flight back to New York. And I think although this topic is fun, it's not pressing, and it's one that we can touch on at a later date.
Right. No, so we just kind of wanted to I think we can leave it where we are here. Again, there's a lot of stuff going on in the ADGA world, and hopefully all good things. I think there's all good things coming that'll just, it's getting us one step closer to having a truly functional NG process. And I think with that, it'll move forward, and progress is slow. I mean, even the EC said on that publication that progress is slow, but there is progress. So just as I am hopeful and excited for the rest of my kidding season, I am hopeful and excited for the progress that is going to come forth. And I think there's going to be a lot of things coming down the pipeline in terms of that. And just even seeing the fact that I received an email saying I didn't have a verification test on file shows that things are being done behind the scenes that we may not see right away, but there is work in progress.
Danielle, good luck the rest of the way with your one doe left to kid. When did we say she's kidding again?
So one doe left to kid for the bet. There are still several other does that need to kid. She is due tomorrow. So she is due when this episode airs. From all reports from home, she is waiting for me to get back.
And that's very sweet of her.
I know. It really is very sweet of her. So we will see what she looks like when I get home tonight, or when I get home tomorrow morning, because I'll probably be in after midnight, but we'll see what she looks like. But I don't think she's going to go right on Tuesday. From what I heard, she's has very little udder development, all of the good things that mean she's holding in those babies for me. She'll probably go, well, she's going to go before the
next recording.
10th. Yeah, so before, probably before the 10th. Before the next recording, she'll have gone.
Oh, man. We're going to know basically by our next recording, and then we'll just be waiting on my last one to kid. All right. Let's go.
So if you have name suggestions for John, because I think he needs help, feel free to send them.
I need help in many different ways, Danielle. All right. Well, yeah, folks, send the suggestions my way. This is the best day ever. Anyway, Danielle, if people want to find us on the old interwebs, where can they do that?
You can find us at DairyGoatPodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook by searching Ringside and American Dairy Goat Podcast. We are on Instagram and TikTok by searching Ringside Podcast. And you can listen to us weekly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody. Well, this has been Ringside, an American Dairy Goat Podcast. I'm John.
And I'm Danielle.
And we'll catch you on the next one.